Today we are continuing to look at this series of sermons on the seven virtues. Last week we talked about wisdom, and I remember someone going, oh no, it's on wisdom. Oh no. Well, today it's going to be on courage. Do you think we need courage today? I think we do. I think we desperately need courage to live the life that we are called to live, and certainly to live a life that God wants us to live. It takes courage in all facets of life, and we're going to talk about that today. But if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to open them to Joshua. It's chapter 1, and we're going to look at the first 9 verses this morning. I'm going to read them. So if you have your Bibles with you, there's Bibles in the pews as well, so you can pick them up and open them to Joshua, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Some people believe that courage is for those who have difficult jobs. But I believe that courage, even more so now, is for anybody. Particularly as Christians, we have to be courageous. We have to be able to stand up for what is right and what is true. And sometimes in churches, we fall victim to being not so courageous because we don't want to disrupt the status quo, or we don't want to cause problems in our community, so we just kind of toe the line. But I think if there was ever a time that as churches and as Christians we need to be more courageous, it is now. I have heard some stories of people who, this week I was looking at some stories of people who exemplified courage. And I have a couple of them to share with you this morning. The first one, there's a man by Robert Kerr who wrote about a woman named Elizabeth Holland. She was a pediatrician from Memphis, Tennessee, and she served as a volunteer doctor for World Vision in Africa. And one time, she was treating a patient in the middle of an African civil war. She was having surgery, an appendectomy. Her operating room was a hut, was a mud hut in the jungle of Zaire. And while she was in there operating, she had to use an animal tranquilizer as the anesthetic. Can you imagine that? And it started to not stop working halfway through the surgery. MiG fighters were dropping bombs around the area, and every time a bomb would hit, the hut would shake, and the mud and the stuff on the roof would fall down upon them. And somehow, through all of this, the miracle of all miracles, she was able to successfully do the surgery, and her patient lived. And another time, during the Angolan Civil War, it was not uncommon for her to see 400 to 500 patients a day. She would frequently have to wrap bones in magazines or use banana leaves for slings. There wasn't a lot of food. It was in short supply. And typically what they would eat almost every day was a thing called a cassava plant root, which she said tasted like glue. And when she first was there, she said it was the most disgusting thing she ever ate, but over time, she said it didn't taste too bad. Across from the Angolan border, where there was a minefield that often killed innocent people who were living in that area, she would have to go out and retrieve them. And she found that if she got down on her stomach and with her nose and her face on the ground, she could find the mines. And she would crawl out on her stomach to the people. She would take them, put them on her back, and she would go back the same way she came in, and she was able to get them out of the minefield and take care of them. Talk about someone who exemplified courage. Now, maybe we will never be one or forced into a situation to persevere as Elizabeth Holland did, but I think each one of us can grow in character when it comes to courage. I think we need more courage today because there's a time, I think, where the idea of going to church or the idea of being a Christian and sharing your faith is a very difficult thing. Not many of us have the courage really to want to go out and evangelize. We don't feel it's something that we're really talented at or that we're good at or we're comfortable doing. But it is something that we can do just by living out our life and letting people know that we love them through our words and through our actions. Today, as we work through the seven cardinal virtues, we're going to look at courage, and I'd like to ask you two questions this morning, just two questions. First of all, what exactly is courage? And second of all, how can we, myself included, how can all of us grow in courage? How can we do that? And those are the two things that we're going to talk about today. So, what exactly is courage? Well, I want to begin by going back to last week when I talked about wisdom. What is the definition of wisdom? Does anyone remember? Well, I'm going to tell you, okay? It is the ability to choose the right path. A wise person takes in all the possibilities in any situation and chooses a course of action or a reaction that best suits not only the short term, but also in the long term. That's someone who has wisdom. Someone who doesn't make a decision just haphazardly, but someone who can see what the potential problems might be and how we react to or act toward a situation. We see what's happened in the past, we see what's going on now, and we have an idea of what could happen in the future based on how we react to situations. So, with that in mind, what is the definition of courage? Well, the definition of courage is to walk that path no matter how easy or how hard it might be. Courage is doing what you know is right when it needs to be done, regardless of the level of difficulty involved. That's courage. And as I look at the passage of Scripture that I read this morning for our sermon, we see that God Himself has let Joshua know that He is now the chosen one. He is the one now that has to lead the people. Moses has died. He's been laid to rest. They have spent the last 30 days in the mourning period. And here it comes, Joshua. His appointment is not something that was out of the blue. It's something that's been in the works for a long time. As Joshua was Moses' aide all the way back to when he was a youth. He was there for the first battles, weeks after they left Egypt. He even accompanied Moses the first time he went up on the Mount of Sinai, and God gave Moses the laws. He was one of the 12 men who was chosen to go ahead and see what was what they had to look forward to, this millions of people. And if you know the story, the 12 men came back. How many of the 12 said it was going to be easy, we can do it? Two people, right? Joshua's one. Who was the other? Caleb, right? The other 10 said, we can't do it. They're too big, they're too many, they're too strong. Well, the people listened to the 10 and didn't listen to the 2. And so God said, you're my man. And so Joshua was thrust into a situation of leadership to take a group of people to the promised land, but there was more to it than that. Why was Joshua picked instead of Caleb? We don't know. All we do know is that it was a task that Joshua was given. And so he was given this job to do, to take care of these people. Now, there was three or four things here that he had to do. The first thing he had to do was to keep order amongst a people who were notorious for being fickle and faithless. Does that sound familiar? Right? It's tough. It's tough to lead people, especially when it's a huge group of people who have all their own ideas and they're all their own expectations and their presumptions and they all have a different way of looking at things. Joshua had to somehow take this group of people and pull them together and unify them so that they were all going after the same thing. They were all achieving what God wanted them to do. And if he was able to do this, he then had to lead this conquest of the new land, which was populated by numerous powerful tribes and cities and nations. He had to cross rivers. He had to bring down walls that were towering over them. He had to not only unify a group of people, but he had to get them excited about wanting to move forward with exuberance and enthusiasm to conquer a land that they already were told they can't conquer. That's a tough, tough road. And if he was able to do those two things, he then had to be able to lead the people in distribution of the land and the wealth. Now, how many of us could do that? You're going to get a lot of people grumbling because they didn't get as much as the other person, or the, you know, you have to be able to be fair. Sounds so familiar. One of the things that, when I was in seminary, one of the things that we talked about was how this kind of thing is a lot like a pastor. You know, he's got a job, he's got to work with a group of people that all have a history, for the most part, in churches, and they all look at things maybe differently, and they all have different expectations, and they all have different ideas of how things should be done. And somehow, as a pastor, you have to bring that group of people together and unify them, and give them the vision so that they can do the work and get excited about that work. And there's going to be opposition. There's going to be problems that come up once in a while. And you have to be able to prepare them to push forward, even though there's going to be obstacles, and to get them excited about new ideas and new approaches, and so that you can conquer those things and move forward. And then you have to be able to distribute the work that needs to be done to the right people, so that everybody has a part in the ministry. To do all of this, to do everything that Joshua had to do, he needed to have to be strong and courageous. Matter of fact, in our scripture, God mentions it 3 times to him. To be strong, be courageous. Now, I've been in ministry now for about 20 years, and full-time ministry for about 15. And one of the things that people have said is that I'm not a very strong leader. Well, I have been around pastors who have been extremely strong leaders, to the point where they lorded over everything. And in the process, I saw how it was disrupting the church, how people were not able to do ministry. They weren't able to do what they felt God was calling them to do because their pastor was telling them what they were to do. And I don't believe in that. I believe it's important to let people find their heart, their ministry, their gifts and talents, and encouraging them to use them. That's what I believe. And I don't believe in one person doing it all, or one person leading everything. It's a team effort. It's teamwork. It's people gathering together, using their talents, their gifts, their abilities, combining them together to do ministry. Now, we may not be nation leaders, but we are nation builders. And as God's children, we all live lives where courage is not an option. It is essential. It takes courage to work hard, especially when society seems to be telling us to look out for number one or to look for shortcuts or find ways to cheat a little bit. It takes courage to do work in jobs that require people to risk their lives, police officers, firemen, health workers, teachers. It takes courage to be a student, to study, because it means that you have to stay true to what you are trying to study and not trying to find an easy way out. It takes courage to raise a child. Bill Cosby once said, "You're not a real parent unless you have more than one child, because you don't have to deal with it. You're touching me. That's my stuff. But I believe even if you have one child, you're a parent, right? And it takes courage to be a parent. It takes courage to be a grandparent. It takes courage to be able to do the right thing for your kids, even though sometimes we have to let them fly off on their own a little bit and make their own mistakes. It takes courage to be a kid. I was thinking about that this week when I look back on my childhood and the many times that I would come home crying because I was bullied for one reason or another. And my father would say, "Just let them do it. They'll get tired of it after a while." And it didn't work that way. But I realized as I got older that what my dad was trying to tell me was, don't let them disrupt the way you live your life. Turn the other cheek. Let them know that even though they're bullying you, you care about them. You love them, because they're probably hurting deep inside themselves. This week I was looking at a website called heroicstories.com, and there was a story about a father who had two boys. The title of the story was "Over the Fence," and the person who wrote it just simply put "the dad." But it's a story of this man. He had two sons. One we'll call Bill, and the other we'll call Jake. Bill was the oldest. And they were very rambunctious kids. Oftentimes, they would hear them arguing with one another, which siblings do, right? And one day, Thanksgiving evening, the parents were in the living room watching TV, and their sons were next door at their neighbor's house, and they were playing basketball with the two older boys were playing basketball with the younger kids, and their neighbor had a Great Dane, a huge dog. And whenever the kids were over at the house, they had to tie the dog up because the dog would get a little vicious. And so they're sitting there watching TV, and all of a sudden they heard a bunch of screaming and crying and yelling outside. And so at first they didn't think much of it because that was kind of typical. But then there was something that was different, and so the father got up, he went out to the door, he went outside onto their deck, and he noticed that their oldest son, Bill, was running, trying to get around the fence into their yard, and he was holding his hand, and his hand was bleeding terribly. So they ran and got him, and they took him to the hospital, and he had to have emergency surgery. because he had some damage done to his forearm and his hand. And he was concerned because he was a goalie on the soccer team, and he was worried that he wouldn't be able to do it anymore. And the doctor said he'll be fine after some therapy. Their younger son came running in crying. The next day, their neighbor and his son came over to the house to tell them what happened. It seems that their dog, this Great Dane, had gotten loose and was trying to attack the small children. This boy, Bill, was able to get behind the dog and hold the dog down, wrapping his arms around the neck of the dog to hold him back so that this other boy was able to get the young children into the house in safety. And Bill tried to get away from the dog, but the dog attacked him, and he put his arms up like this to block the dog, and the dog started attacking him. He tried to get over the fence, and the dog kept pulling him down and attacking him. And finally, the neighbor next door was able to grab a hold of the dog and get him away from him. And while this boy was telling the story, little Jake was crying. He had always looked up to his older brother because of his soccer playing. But now, he looked at his brother differently. His brother was willing to risk his life to save his pesky little brother. The older brother, Bill, was only 10 years old. But he exemplified everything that we've come to call courage. He took it upon himself to act regardless of personal danger. How many of us would be willing to be courageous when the time came? Courageous enough to make a decision to step and help somebody in need. To be courageous to say yes when everyone else is saying no. To be courageous when we think we know the answer, we think we know what we should be doing, which oftentimes is the stuff we've always done, or should we take a step out in faith and do something different? Step taking us out of our comfort zone. How many of us need to be more courageous in our lives? Well, that's what it means to be courageous. But today, right now, as we begin this new year, how can we grow in courage? Well, let me remind you of what I said last week, that we have to be very careful that we do not consider the virtues to be commodities that we find or gather or buy or make. That's not what it's about. I mean, you can't just go out and buy courage. It's something that you have to experience, and it's something you have to believe in. It's something you have to want to do. The stories in the Bible tell of people who exemplified courage, standing up for what is right, standing up to what God had told them. Think of the prophets of the Old Testament and how they would go into a community and tell people what God had told them to say to these people. How many times did the people chase them out of town? How many times did the people want to hurt them and destroy them? Think of the people in the New Testament who stood up for courage. And there are stories certainly here in our time of people who stood for courage. So how do we get this courage? Well, first of all, courage grows in us as we do things which require it. Joshua 1:6 says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." See, God was telling Joshua that he had to have courage, that he was going to give him courage, that he was going to give him the strength to do what he needed to do. And not only that, but he was going to give him an opportunity to do it, to lead all of these people to the promised land. Look at the last words in this verse. What will Joshua lead these people to do? To inherit a land that God swore to their forefathers to give them. We see in these words that Joshua is simply the conduit by which God uses to fulfill his promises. God made this promise long ago, and now he is using Joshua to fulfill it. And we can learn courage as we too let God fulfill his promise through us. And believe me, it takes courage to let God work through you. It takes courage to stand up for your faith. It takes courage to love people that other people don't want to love. It takes courage to care for people that other people have thrown on the trash heap or let fall through the cracks. It takes courage to be willing to see the needs in your community and to work to eradicate those needs or take care of those needs. It takes courage to say, you know what? We don't have to do things the way we always do it. We can try new things. We can take some steps out in faith. It takes courage to pray in public. It takes courage to take time out of your busy schedule to spend time with the Lord. The second thing is that courage requires knowing what is the right thing to do. The next time God calls Joshua to courage, he adds another dimension. We read it in verse 7 and 8. He says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." If courage is the willingness, the readiness to do the right thing at the right time, then we need to know what that right thing to do is and when the right time is. That's why God says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night." I think about the policemen and the firefighters and think about our military. Think about all those people that have to exhibit courage in their work. What is the one thing that they do constantly? They train. They train. They do it over and over and over again. When I was a volunteer fireman, one Saturday in Pendleton, they had these barracks up by these wooden barracks, and they were like two stories tall. And one day, we got to burn down one whole big barrack. It was awesome. But the reason why we were there is because we were learning to train how to fight fires. And at one point in the training, we were doing smoke drills, and we were inside. I was inside. I had my turnout gear on, my mask on, tank on, and everything. I had the hose right next to me. We were laying on a staircase going up to the second floor. We were learning how to do smoke drills to see how the smoke works and where it goes and everything. They had put cardboard over all the windows so that no oxygen could get into the room. They set a little fire in the corner of the room, and we were all sitting there laying down on the staircase watching all this happen. And the captain was telling us, "Now notice how this goes." And you know, and all of a sudden, a gust of wind comes up. It hits one of those cardboard, falls off the window. Oxygen hits that fire, and the room exploded. Fortunately, the captain was able to get out okay. Fire went right over my head, singed my neck because I had an old turnout gear that didn't connect all the way. And we're laying there, me and my buddy, we're laying there on the staircase, and I'm looking at, I got the hose right there, and I'm thinking, I got to put this fire out. And I go to reach for the hose, and I hear the captain yelling at me, "Don't put the fire out." And I'm like, "Excuse me?" He says, "We want you to see what happens." And I said, "I'm seeing it very, very well." That training helped us as we would go on to fight house fires, helped us to see how the fire moves. It was scary, but it needed to be done. We all need to be training to prepare ourselves to be courageous for whatever God is calling us to do. And that training is what we do right here, right now, Sunday morning, worship, fellowship, prayer time, studying the Word. It's about learning to serve, learning to put others first. It's about learning to give from our heart. It's about always being prepared to do the right thing. Courage also comes from trusting that God is with you wherever you go. If there's one thing that sparks fear faster than anything else, it is being alone. Of all the time I've been afraid, the most tangible ones have come when I have felt so alone. When I was in ministry, a pastor came and spoke. And he was talking about some of the highs and the lows of pastoring a church. And one of the things that really hit me hard was the fact that he said it can be a very lonely job. Because everything has a tendency of falling on you. And you spend a lot of your time helping other people and very little time being able to help yourself. At times you feel like you're the only one. And there are times when you feel so all alone that no one can possibly understand the pain that you may be going through. But there's one thing that I will always remember. One of my favorite pieces of scripture from Psalms 139, maybe it's yours as well. It says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, and even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." No matter where we go, no matter where we're at, God is there. Courage is something that we all need to grow in. For we are all going to be facing situations where doing what we know is right is going to be difficult, maybe at times impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. And when we exhibit courage, He will go with us. He will walk with us. He will lead us. And He will keep us safe. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go perfect. It doesn't mean that we're going to have all the answers. But it does mean that we're doing our very best for God. And I want to encourage you as a church to be courageous in how you speak to people, how you present yourself, and how you live out the mission that God has given you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's hard to be courageous sometimes. Sometimes we get so worn down that we just want to sit down and hide, and sometimes we don't want to venture into the unknown because it's fearful. It's uncomfortable. Help us, Lord, to have the courage to step up and do what we are asked to do. Help us to have the courage to stand for what we believe, to stand up for people who can't stand up for themselves. Help us, Lord, to have the courage to listen, to hear the pain, and to help when we can. Help us to have the courage to share our story for others to hear. I pray this in your name. Amen.